This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 24th, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 135. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, the big deal feature, Hong Kong faces a bleak future, reaction to the Chinese Communist Party's national security law that threatens to end Hong Kong's autonomy. Plus, I'll award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those making a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or do we have more nominees for the
Politician Said What?
Hall of Fame? Last week, the Collingwood Neighborhood House in East Vancouver held a virtual town hall meeting to discuss a recent uptick in reports to police about anti-Asian graffiti and assaults. NDP Member of Parliament Don Davies of Vancouver Kingsway has a solution. Stop criticizing the Chinese government.
Because I think it's a very slippery slope from an attack on a Chinese government or a system that becomes an attack on China as a nation, that then becomes an attack on Chinese as a people, that can very quickly turn into an attack on a person of Chinese descent. And no one person, culture, or country creates a disease or an economic crisis. And I know in times of stress, there can be strong forces in our society to find a scapegoat and to stereotype.
This is the same Don Davies who, in November 2016, lamented the death of Cuban dictator Fidel Castro. Davies famously tweeted, quote, "Sad to hear of passing of Fidel Castro. He stood against imperialism and was a man of monumental vision, courage, justice. He shall be missed," end quote. Canadian Chinese should not be blamed for the decisions made at the highest levels of the Chinese government by the unelected president for life, Xi Jinping, and his inner circle of communist yes-men. But to suggest that Canadians should give the Communist Party of China, a foreign political dictatorship, a free pass is a disgusting thought. That's as disgusting as racism. If we do not put truth to power wherever, whenever, then we let the bullies win. What makes this slippery slope logic especially concerning is that Davies is a member of the Special Committee on Canada-China Relations at the House of Commons. And we should remember the words of British philosopher Nigel Warburton. Quote, "Users of slippery slope arguments should take skiing lessons. You really can choose to stop," end quote. It's time for Davies to stop. Meanwhile, in Ottawa, Health Minister Patty Hajdu showed who was boss. At a meeting on May 22nd of the Commons Committee on Government Operations, NDP Hamilton MP Matthew Green put Canada's top doctor, Theresa Tam, on the hot seat. But Health Minister Patty Hajdu pulled rank.
Last question, Dr. Tam. Did you warn the federal cabinet at any time in the last decade that the NEST was not funded or mandated to amass sufficient levels of medical supplies and equipment in a response to a pandemic like COVID-19?
And if you could give a yes or no answer to that, Dr. Tam, I would appreciate it.
Actually, I'll answer that because the conversations at cabinet are private, as the member knows.
Earlier, Green questioned Hajdu about the national strategic stockpile of personal protective equipment and medicine. Liberal Hajdu chose to take a political jab at the Conservative government that the Liberals defeated in 2015. But Edmonton West Conservative MP Kelly McCauley turned the tables on Hajdu when he accused the Liberal health minister of misleading the committee.
Were you a minister prior to becoming the Minister of Health?
Yes, I was.
Were you ever briefed at the federal cabinet at any time in the last decade that the National Emergency Strategic Stockpile was not funded or mandated to amass sufficient levels of medical supplies or equipment to respond to a pandemic like COVID-19?
Well, I can't speak to the 5 years prior to our government, where, in fact, under the Harper Conservatives, you know, the agencies experienced significant cuts. But I can tell you that During the 5 years that we were in government, in fact, we increased funding to Public Health Agency of Canada. In 2014-15, the funding was $637 million. We increased that funding by 6%. In 2018-19, PHAC's funding was $675.4 million.
Minister, I just want to start with your comment about blaming the heart for conservatives. First of all, I want to say how disappointed I am that instead of dealing with this very important situation, that you use that disgraceful fallback line. I had the public accounts with me because I keep them everywhere I go. And in fact, since the Liberal government came into power, the first year in power, you cut PHAC funding 10%, then 13%, overall drop of 5%. Public or health ministry in total was slashed 12% since the Harper years. So I would ask that you would actually focus on providing true answers to this committee about this pandemic rather than falling back on disgraceful Liberal talking points about Harper cut.
Meanwhile, in Wuhan, the local government has banned breeding, hunting, and eating of wild animals for the next 5 years. That means lions, tigers, peacocks, pangolins, snakes, and bats are off the menu in the city that gave the world coronavirus. A certain guitar player from Vancouver's North Shore, who is also an outspoken vegan on social media, has the last laugh. What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news.
You gotta do what? What? Dr. Henry said, we're gonna have to wait to vaccinate. So just stay strong and sing this song. You gotta wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
John Mitchell and his Vancouver independent single, Do What?
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the South China Morning Post, Hang Seng Index falls furthest in 5 years, with banks and builders leading losses as Beijing moves to tighten grip on city. The Hang Seng Index capped the biggest decline of 5.6% in almost 5 years as China's legislature is set to vote on a security law that will increase Beijing's control over Hong Kong. All 50 members of the city's benchmark fell, with developers and banks being the worst-performing industry groups. This happened after Beijing said it plans to pass a security law that will curb secession and sedition in the city, a move that will raise the political risk in the former British colony and add to tension between China and the U.S. Keone Everington in the Taiwan News, Taiwan planning to allow foreign tourists in October. Taiwan has been able to bring its Wuhan coronavirus outbreak under control with no new imported cases in 13 days and zero local infections in 38 days. From May 27th to July 31st, passengers on trains will be allowed to eat food during their journey. However, they will still be required to wear face masks before and after eating. Between August 1st and October 31st, more than $33 million U.S. in subsidies for the tourism industry, depending on the progress against the virus, orders to use face masks, body temperature measurements, and social distance requirements may be discontinued. Opening the country to foreign tourists will be the last phase, between the start of October and the end of December. Benjamin Gabbana and Eliza Lashon of ABC News Australia. Clive Palmer threatens High Court challenge to Western Australia coronavirus border closure after being denied entry. Billionaire mining magnate Clive Palmer has lashed out at Premier Mark McGowan after being refused entry into Western Australia, threatening a High Court challenge to the state's strict border closure. The Western Australia Premier backs the decision to refuse Mr. Palmer an exemption. And an update from Australia. Last week's guest on the Breaker.News podcast, Drew Pavlou, walked out of a disciplinary hearing at the University of Queensland, calling it a kangaroo court. In ABC News Australia, Pavlou and his lawyer, Tony Morris, said that the disciplinary board was not following its own rules. Pavlou has led protests against the university's reliance on money from the Chinese government, which is harming the human rights of Hong Kongers and Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. The university claims to be a defender of freedom of speech. Professor Clive Hamilton of Charles Sturt University in Australia called the University of Queensland amateurish, and he said that Pavlou does not deserve to be expelled because he did not hurt anyone or damage property. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Before it's too late, let's go.
Those were the voices of Katrina Chen and Bowen Ma, with music by Bob Deeth, covering Avril Lavigne's Keep Holding On. All three are BC NDP MLAs.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
Martha Belial of Associated Press in the Olympian. Health officials state COVID-19 death toll may be higher. At least 1,037 people in Washington state have died from the disease, but health officials have identified 3,000 deaths dating back to January 1st, 2020, that involved symptoms like pneumonia or acute respiratory syndrome, which are commonly associated with COVID-19. Having an accurate death count helps health officials plan for and prevent the disease. Patrick Malone in the Seattle Times. Hundreds of millions of dollars lost in Washington to unemployment fraud amid coronavirus joblessness surge. Susie Levine, commissioner of the State Employment Security Department, declined to specify how much money was stolen during the scam, which is believed to be orchestrated from Nigeria. But she conceded that the amount was orders of magnitude above the $1.6 million that the ESD reported losing to fraudsters in April. For the week ending May 16th, the ESD received more than 138,000 initial claims for unemployment insurance, an increase of almost 27% over the prior week, and one of the biggest weekly surges since the coronavirus crisis began. That sharp increase came as the number of initial joblessness claims nationwide fell 9.2% to 2.4 million, according to data released earlier in the day by the Labor Department. From CTV News Vancouver Island, a small tornado that touched down on Vancouver Island was recorded on one resident's front door camera. The video shows the tornado passing through a Saanich neighborhood and launching a trampoline high in the sky. Priscilla Harding says her husband Keith happened to be looking out the window of their home when it happened. According to Environment Canada meteorologist Armel Castellan, the tornado appears to be a weak EF0 tornado, which tends to last several seconds to 15 minutes. This one lasted a couple of minutes. And these headlines this week in the Breaker.News. Contact tracing on the menu for reopened restaurants and bars in BC. Chinese citizen living in Surrey won't serve any more jail time over UCLA bribe. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news.
You gotta help your neighbors all across this land. And the frontline workers who fight to keep us safe. Brave souls, by the courage I'm amazed, 'cause we're all in this together, and we've got to brave this stormy weather.
Burnaby City Councillor Joe Keithley of DOA and Mayor Mike Hurley with We're All In This Together, the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. May 20th, Taiwan's independence-minded President Tsai Ing-wen was sworn in for her second term after a landslide victory in January. She reiterated her loyalty to self-governing Taiwan and rejected Beijing's One China policy that aims to reunite the island with the mainland. A day later, China's National People's Congress, the Communist Party's rubber-stamp parliament, opened in Beijing and dropped a bombshell. A new national security law for Hong Kong, imposed from Beijing rather than to be debated in Hong Kong's Legislative Council. It will spell the end of the rule of law, free press, and open economy in Hong Kong, where the 1997 handover from the United Kingdom to China was supposed to allow Hong Kong to remain autonomous for 50 years. Remember the one country, two systems buzzword? Well, because of this new law, it will be no more. Conservative opposition members of Parliament in Canada, Garnett Jenness of Saskatchewan and Kenny Chu of BC, co-hosted a Facebook chat with Hong Kong pro-democracy activists to talk about the latest developments. Martin Lee, who is known as the father of democracy, spent more than two decades in the Legislative Council and has helped draft the basic law, which is Hong Kong's mini-constitution. Here is what Martin Lee had to say.
He was the founding chairman of the Democratic Party in Hong Kong, and he has been for a long time a member of the Legislative Council there, specifically from 1985 to 1997 and from 1998 to 2008. He was one of 15 people arrested in April 2020 in this horrifying effort to arrest and intimidate some of Hong Kong's most prominent champions for freedom, human rights, and democracy. Mr. Lee, thank you so much for joining us. You're a hero to so many on this call and who are watching. So appreciate the opportunity to hear some words directly from you.
Thank you very much for hosting this webinar. I will take it up from Kenny. The one country, two systems was what was described as China's basic policies regarding Hong Kong. It was the brainchild of Deng Xiaoping, at least we attribute that to him. And his one country, two systems were described by him as Hong Kong people ruling Hong Kong with a high degree of autonomy, namely, apart from defense and foreign affairs, which are properly reserved to the central government under the Sino-British Joint Declaration, and therefore our mini constitution, the basic law, we, the Hong Kong people, were promised to be masters of our own house in terms of the executive, legislative, and judicial power. Now, about 5 years ago, in June 2014, 6 years now, the central government published a white paper in seven languages claiming that the central government, that is the Communist Party, has comprehensive jurisdiction over Hong Kong. Now, that phrase should be more properly translated as having complete administrative power over Hong Kong. Now, just imagine if the Communist Party has complete administrative power over Hong Kong, what degree of autonomy do we have? None. That's the extent to which they have now rewritten the one country, two systems. And that everything you've been seeing recently, and more will come very soon, is but their implementation of that policy. It's not a new policy. It's already 6 years old. But no government took heed of that. I tried to explain to them, terrible things are going to happen, but we didn't see them happen a few years back. But this year, and in the last few months, they changed the top man in the central government's liaison office in Hong Kong. These are the communist setup. They've got their office in the western part of Hong Kong, and they are now interfering with all the internal affairs of Hong Kong. They claim that they are above the laws of Hong Kong and above the basic law. They were supposed not to interfere with Hong Kong's internal affairs as provided by Article 22 of the basic law, but they say no, that doesn't apply to them. And that took even the Hong Kong government completely by surprise, because all these years, we all understood that they were governed by the basic law, which is our mini constitution. But now we learned for the first time that this is not so. Now, the whole idea of one country, two systems was implemented in a very simple manner. So after 1997, the Chinese constitution will continue to govern China. But now it has become mainland China because there is now Hong Kong added to it as a special administrative region, together with the Macau special administrative region. And Hong Kong was governed and is governed by the Hong Kong Basic Law, which I helped to draft. And Macau is governed by the Macau Basic Law, while the rest of China, mainland, is governed by the Chinese Constitution. But now they say the Chinese Constitution can trump the Hong Kong Basic Law. That means everything is now at large. All those promises are now to be rewritten. They will give Hong Kong people as many freedoms and as high an extent of freedom as they please every given day. So if today they say, okay, I'll give you more freedom, fine. Tomorrow they can take a lot of that back. This cannot work. And that is why without democracy, they keep on postponing it. And with the continued exercise of comprehensive power now over Hong Kong, the one country, two systems policy of Deng Xiaoping has been standing on his head. I hope my overseas friends to understand the extent of this intrusion into Hong Kong by the Chinese Communist Party. It cannot be trusted, I'm afraid.
This is student activist Joey Hsu, vice president of the City University of Hong Kong Students Union.
So a lot has been going on in Hong Kong during the past few weeks, including the several statements from the liaison office of China and Hong Kong, threatening that they would be disqualifying pro-democracy lawmakers in the Legislative Council, and also including the reintroduction of the National Anthem Law, which will be passed on the 27th of May, and also for tonight about the National Security Law and about the implementation of it in Hong Kong. So it is actually, the situation in Hong Kong is, as you might all think, that it's deteriorating in a very, very unpredicted and also in a very, very fast pace, which is very worrying not only to Hong Kongers, but also to the other countries in the international community, where the very unique status of Hong Kong is being threatened. And Hong Kong might no longer be acting as a very special international financial center anymore after the implementation of the National Security Law. And up until yesterday, there were 8,600 of us arrested, over 1,000 of us prosecuted, and among them, there are 600 of us being charged with rioting, where the minimum imprisonment could be up to 6 to 7 years, which is a very, very heavy punishment. And with the implementation of the National Security Law, we can actually foresee a lot more arrests in Hong Kong happening. So that is also why we had been trying to lobby the different kinds of like politicians and also foreign governments to grant and to work on granting the asylum status to different like political refugees from Hong Kong to Canada and also to the other countries. And we also find it very, very important to make use of the Global Magnitsky Act to sanction those human rights abuses in the Hong Kong government and also in the Chinese Communist government. And that is also why we had been trying to go on to several lobbying trips into different countries. And it would be really, really helpful if Canada can be with us on this like sanctioning and also on our way to pursue democracy in Hong Kong.
Martin Lee and Joey Hsu joining Conservative Members of Parliament Garnet Jenness of Saskatchewan and Kenny Chiu of BC on a Facebook chat about the state of Hong Kong.
Lots of toilet paper, but rare trips to the loo. All this hoarding was just wrong. What nervous people do. Seeing the world out my window, the right thing to do. Isolation's what I'm in. I got the COVID-19 blues. We should have thought ahead. First China, then Iran. This is my first pandemic. I'm doing all I can. I wash my hands with soap, water, sanitizer too. I douse myself in vodka just to spend some time with you.
The COVID-19 Blues by the Accutones. The voice of the Accutones is Richmond, BC lawyer Paul Doroshenko.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Postmedia's John Mackey. Mackey is one of the city's best music writers, but he also has his eye on the history of the city. His May 22nd commentary, "The Downtown East Side is a War Zone, Stop Ghettoizing It," may be the most important 685 words written about the poorest postal code in Canada in recent years. It's worth a read. In it, Mackey writes that letting people openly do drugs in public and turn the community into a ghetto is, quote, political correctness gone mad, end quote. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 24th, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on May 24th in 1956, the first Eurovision Song Contest which included these countries: Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, and the host and champion, Switzerland. And also on May 24th, in 1986, England edged Canada 1-0 in a pre-World Cup friendly at Swangard Stadium in Burnaby, BC, before just over 8,000 fans. England's Mark Hatley scored the only goal of the game. Ex-Vancouver Whitecap Peter Beardsley subbed in for Gary Lineker, who suffered a wrist injury late in the second half. Canada played in its first and only World Cup in Mexico that summer, but came home without scoring a goal. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. Be like Paul Doroshenko, who is at the $10 a month NewsHound level of support for thebreaker.news. Thank you, Paul. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Playing us out is North Vancouver District Councillor Jordan Back and North Vancouver Lonsdale NDP MLA Bowen Ma with their COVID-19 version of John Denver's Take Me Home Country Road, recorded live outside the Evergreen House Seniors Home in North Vancouver on May 9th. Until next week.
All our elders gather around here, but because of COVID, we can't get too near. Days are lonely, lonelier than the nights, but we will get through this. We won't go without a fight. Can't wait to go to his home, where my grandpa, he lives alone. We will beat this COVID-19 and free our neighbors from their home. Beat this.